Hello and welcome to Legal Eagle on West Kent Radio, where I'm delighted to welcome a brand new Legal Eagle into the hot seat, Victoria Seaman, a private client executive at Berry & Lamberts. So welcome, Victoria.
Thank you very much, Alex. Hello.
It's nice to meet you.
Well, lovely to see you. So this is an important topic today and one that will be of interest to our listeners, I'm sure. So we're going to be discussing lasting powers of attorney. So let's kick off with, what is a lasting power of attorney?
Well, a lasting power of attorney is a legal document. It's in a prescribed format and it is considered to be a deed, and it appoints named people to make decisions and help the person making it, the donor, if they lose mental capacity or the ability to manage their own affairs and make their own decisions. There are two types. One covers health and welfare decisions, and one covers decisions about property and finance.
So we're going to be talking about mental capacity next month in our Legal Eagle with you. But say, for example, my dad has appointed me his attorney. What do I do?
Well, for as long as he's able to make his own decisions and he doesn't need much help, you don't have to do anything at all. Attorneys should really just check in with their parents regularly to see how they're doing, make sure that they are coping, that they're not getting confused or overwhelmed, and offer support. The Mental Capacity Act 2005, which is the governing piece of legislation for lasting powers of attorney, states that everyone is presumed to have mental capacity unless it has been formally determined, usually by a medical assessment, that they don't. If your dad, for instance, starts struggling, or you notice that he's starting to struggle a bit, either due to memory issues, or for instance, perhaps he's picked up an infection that's causing a high temperature and some delirium, or you notice that perhaps he's leaving the gas on, have a chat to him about talking to a doctor in the first instance, or just ask if he needs some help or support, because it could just be that that's all he needs and you don't really have to take any more formal steps than that.
So it's treading carefully and being sensitive to start off. But if I do have to take charge, can I just take charge of his bank accounts?
No, but you will need to take the registered lasting power of attorney for property and finance to the bank, or you could also activate it online. A lot of financial institutions are checking the online register now, and you apply to get a special code, and you should get yourself added as a signatory. Obviously, you'll need to keep Dad informed that you're doing this. And the best way to approach it is to tell him that you're worried about him, that you think he might be vulnerable, perhaps to scams, and that you want to help him manage if he's starting to feel a bit overwhelmed. Your role as an attorney is to help him to make as many of his own decisions and to stay as independent as he can for as long as he can. So even if you need to start simplifying how you communicate with him, because he can't have the big conversations, you need to involve him at every stage of the process and really just try and offer support. The important thing is that you absolutely must always act in his best interests. That's not what you think is best, but what is objectively best for him, based on any previously expressed wishes he said to you, anything in the lasting power of attorney, any conversations or beliefs that you know that he holds, so that you know you are doing what is right for him as an individual, rather than just taking over wholesale.
So it's very much a collaborative working with him rather than storming in and taking over. But if, for example, he needs care and refuses to go into a care home, what do I do in that situation?
That's not at all unusual. Lots of more vulnerable or elderly individuals very much want to stay in their own home, but it becomes a question of safeguarding at that point in time. So if he does have care needs, if he has been diagnosed with some form of dementia particularly, but also other physical ailments, his care needs should be assessed by the adult social care team from the County Council. They will then produce a report as to what his care needs actually are, along with options on how to provide them. And the NHS Trust might also become involved if the support needs or the care needs are more medical in nature. During that assessment, there'll also be a funding assessment to determine how much the person must contribute to their care. If, as is the case for a lot of people, particularly in the southeast, they have assets that take them over the threshold for self-funding, but they don't have a huge amount in the bank, then it's likely that residential care is going to be the only option available because there's not the liquid funds to pay for care at home. The best thing to do in that case would be to try to discuss it with the person as simply as possible at a time of day that you know they tend to be a bit brighter, a bit more on the ball. For an awful lot of people, that tends to be in the morning. Sundowning is a real thing where people get more confused as the day wears on. You can also suggest that the person goes into a care home for a short stay, like respite, just to see whether or not they like it. And of course, if they don't like the first one you try, shop around, try a few. There's bound to be one or another of them that actually feels better to the individual. If I can, I'd like to say that we see quite often lay attorneys either tend to do too much too soon or wait far too late to step in. And that can leave the vulnerable person at a significant risk. And my advice, I think, would have to be to anybody who is appointed attorney, whose parents are getting on, that it's never a bad idea just to find out what your responsibilities, your duties as an attorney are, and how you can best help the person that you're appointed to look after, really.
Thank you so much, Victoria. Some really important information to consider, and certainly a subject that needs and deserves robust legal advice. I think you can hear from Victoria there that it's not just legal advice. There's also great expertise about the sensitivity involved in these subjects. So do contact Victoria and the team at berryandlamberts.co.uk on this or any legal matter. And Victoria is back in the hot seat next month, so do join us then. We'll be talking about mental capacity on West Kent Radio's Legal Eagle. Thanks so much, Victoria. Look forward to seeing you then.
You're very welcome. I look forward to seeing you again too.